You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, everyone. This is Kay Ham, and it's October 11th, 2015. And I've been thinking about the term predictive programming. Predictive programming. You hear it a lot. A lot of people use it. The alternative media uses it a ton. Predictive programming. And if you just think about the word predictive, that's telling you you're going to predict what happens in the future. You will predict what happens in the future. You can do that through predictive programming. But really, what is predictive programming? Is it telling us about the future? Well, not really. It's telling us about a future story that's going to be told. So I think predictive programming in itself, that term, is misleading, very misleading, because you're not predicting the future. When The Simpsons cartoon show shows two towers getting hit by an airplane, is that predictive programming? Did an airplane really hit a tower? Well, it didn't actually hit it. It was predictive of the story, though, not the event. The event itself, how the twin towers fell. If you go to cluesforum.info, Simon Check in September Clues very clearly lays out what happened that day. Just to put it in a nutshell, what happened on 9/11, so far, the best guess that we have, according to all the amazing thinkers at Clues Forum, is that every video you saw of the towers and of people jumping out of the towers and of people with dust on them crawling out of the towers and of the firefighters trying to rescue people, all of that video was filmed in advance. All of it. Every single bit of it. And most likely, the interviews and the newscasters as well. Only in that way could they get the exact story out that they wanted to tell. Only in that way. So what was actually predicted by the predictive programming? And Chris at Hoaxbusters.com, he has quite a litany, quite a list of predictive programming examples. So it's out there, and they're not afraid to even get caught with their predictive programming, which I think is really amazing. Even though we've got this huge list, they still do it. Perhaps a better name for predictive programming is prescriptive programming, because what it's telling you is what the script will be in the future. So predictive programming is not telling you what events will happen, because we know planes didn't hit the towers. So that event didn't happen. But the script happened, and the script followed exactly that plan, that Arabs hijacked the plane and hit the towers with it. My son, he's 19, he was watching a Simpsons episode on the internet, because my kids don't watch television anymore. I can't remember the last, I think a football game was the last time they actually turned on a television set and we watched it together. But other than that, my children don't watch television. I have four kids. Their ages are from 19 to 30, and they don't watch TV. They watch everything on the internet. So my son was telling me there was a Simpsons episode recently about ISIS. I haven't seen it. But the Simpsons episode was about the grown-ups were all watching and getting scared of the terrorists, the ISIS terrorists, and the kids didn't know anything about it. The South Park children didn't know anything. I hope I said it was a South Park TV show. So the children decide, Kyle and, you know, the kids of South Park, they decide they're going to play a ninja game in the streets. So they dress up like ninjas. Well, don't ISIS members kind of look like ninjas these days where, you know, they have their face covered in black and their head covered in black and all you can see through the slit is their eyes? Well, they were playing ninjas in the street and they were yelling at each other, making funny sounds and just having fun. But the grown-ups passing by in the cartoon saw the children playing and thought they were ISIS people. And the children were, anyway, after my son watched the episode, he was telling me about it. And he said, Mom, it felt like they were trying to tell me how to think about ISIS. That was the purpose of the episode. Well, if you extrapolate that idea to all the other predictive programming, perhaps that's all it is. It's a way to tell the people how to think about an event that's going to happen in the future. So it's telling you how to think. So for the children who watch South Park, they made a joke out of ISIS. So children, don't worry about ISIS. It's just a joke. So they don't have to worry. They don't have to stress out because you don't want the entire population stressing out over events when the main purpose is to get legislation passed or change gun laws or worse, stress the grown-ups out or whatever. You still need people to perform their duties. So what if that is the case? That predictive programming or prescriptive programming is there in order to tell you how to think about an event that's going to happen in the future. Perhaps that's the purpose of it, to tell you how to think about it. Maybe that's it. And it works in this way. So you see a TV show about Arabs hitting towers, about towers falling down, about Arabs hijacking planes. So say that would be before 2001, like between 1990 and 2000. Wow, there was a lot of hate on Arab movies, man. And I know because I was dating an Arab and married to an Arab, and they were all coming out, and I was so confused. It's like, I thought we used to hate Russians and Chinese. How come we're hating Arabs all the time? So yeah, I was keeping track of all the hate on the Arabs. I was like, I don't understand. What's going on? They're picking on this group now. It's very confusing to me. If you think about it in terms of prescriptive programming, though, it makes sense. Because in order for you to believe that those two towers were hit by an Arab flying a plane and they fell and a bunch of people died, that's not very likely to happen at all. Not very likely at all. I mean, just to hit those buildings with your plane, if you talk to a pilot, they'll go, you can't, that's a hard thing to do for a good pilot. And these Arab bozos managed to do it after only flying Cessnas. How is that possible? In addition, buildings never collapsed like that before. Top down, never happened before. But they happen now. Another highly unlikely event. In addition, 3,000 people got smashed up in that building. That never happened before as it collapsed. So we have all these highly unlikely events coalescing on one day. Had it not been for the prescriptive programming, I don't think we would have believed it. We would have said hogwash. That's absolutely ridiculous. Buildings don't collapse like that. Doesn't make any sense. Who are these Arab dudes that are, if you hadn't been told Arabs hijack a bunch of planes on that day, if that was the first Arab to hijack that plane, you would never believe it. Where'd this Arab dude come from? Where's these Arab guys and why are they flying planes and crashing them into buildings? So it seems like prescriptive programming performs a function. And that's to let your brain already preconceive a notion that is highly unlikely to ever have happened. But since you saw it in a cartoon, you saw it in a movie, you read it in a book, it's already in your brain. That play, that script already played out. It already happened. So why not happen again? In fact, you probably saw it happen multiple times. There's so much predictive programming for 9/11. Huge! I think predictive programming is the alternative news way to prevent the population from really understanding what happened during a media event. Just because the word predictive means that to predict something in the future means that that thing you predicted will happen. Sandy Hook, there's predictive programming. There's for so many events, Calm. What are the other ones? I can't think of them right now, but if you listen to Chris from Hoaxbusters, he has a whole bunch of lists of predictive programming. But we know it wasn't really predictive programming because the event you were told about, planes hitting towers, didn't really happen. So it wasn't predicted. The script was predicted, however. Yes, the script happened. So isn't it, shouldn't it be called prescriptive programming? In order to free our brains to think in the proper way, we have to change the words that we use. And I think the alternative media gives us the words to use. And by alternative media, I mean Alex Jones. I mean a whole bunch of other people like David Weiss. I think he's alternative media. He gets paid to say what he says. It's not accidental. He gets paid to do it. And in one of the shows, Hoy and me did an interview with David Weiss, and he was telling us about his 9/11 story, which he couldn't really go beyond his script. He couldn't elaborate any more than his script said. So his whole story was a couple thousand words, and that's it. He has nothing more to say, nothing more to elaborate. You know, like you and me, when we're telling a story, how we're like, oh, I remember this part. And the story starts to build large, you know, it gets larger and it gets more elaborate and more fuller. It starts to represent real life more and more when you tell it because you start to remember all the different parts of the story. Well, David Weiss's story, it stayed flat on a page. It stayed two-dimensional the whole time he told it. And at the time, during the interview, David kept to the pre-scripted story. Nothing new that he said was different than the pre-scripted story that the media also tells. Predictive programming, it's a way to stop your brain from really understanding what happened. And what we know today from all our research at fakeologist.com and at coosform.info, and at hoaxbusters.com, what they all talk about is most of these events, if not all, the popular media events were most likely filmed ahead in advance, and most likely nobody died. Why can we say that? Why have we come to that conclusion? Well, a look at the evidence they gave us shows there's a lot of problems with the videos, with the audios, with the imagery. It doesn't represent real life. There's a lot of problems with forgery and with Photoshop and with After Effects. Perhaps some CGI is going on. It's hard to say exactly what's going on, but we're pretty sure nobody died. Predictive programming, however, if you follow that logical thought in your brain, you're going to assume people died because the event that was predicted in books, in film, and in cartoons talk about how people died. So it's a very, but we know it's not predictive because the actual event never takes place. It never happens. The script says it happens, though. The script is what is predictive, not the event. So I'm going to try and call it prescriptive programming from now on in hopes that people's brains get freed up. They stop getting tied to this wrong way of thinking about big news media events. So that's what I've been thinking about. I don't know. It seems to make sense. If it wasn't for my son telling me about the South Park episode where he was sure they were trying to tell him how to think about ISIS, I wouldn't have come to this conclusion that predictive programming is really prescriptive programming. So that can't be predictive programming, that phrase in itself. That can't be the only phrase that limits our thinking about events that happen. There have to be many other phrases. I haven't dove into it yet, but I think it's a good place to start. What other events did the alternative media name that prevents our brain from really thinking about what actually happened, what actually went on? Predictive programming. Does it really predict events that happen in the future? No, it doesn't. Because we know Sandy Hook kids didn't die. Arabs didn't fly a plane into the Twin Towers. That Batman shooting thing in the theater didn't really happen. But prescriptive programming is exactly what happened. We pre-learned the script for these events that came out in the media. Just the script. Because it's just a story. It's just a story to get things done. To get legislation passed. To get money for events. Oh my gosh. I'm a high school teacher, and just schools alone. We need money for security, things like that. I know the government wants money for security. So there is money to be had, and it's being handed out. And I think the prescriptive programming is one of the ways they do that. Also, if you think about it, I think our society has always been in flux, has always been changing. Always. Do we dress today like we dressed in the 50s? No, we don't. Things are always changing. Always changing. But we seem to have such a short memory about what happened in the past that we think when it happens nowadays, it's brand new. I don't think much of it is brand new. It's the same old story. It's the same old script. It's the same old predictive programming since they had media. When the Titanic went down, they had pictures and newspapers and hand-drawn. And people were like, oh my God, the horror. They're looking at a hand-drawn picture. I bet there was predictive programming for that. Or prescriptive programming, so people would believe the event. And if you think about it, highly unlikely events, I bet people had problems in the past, so they're like, we got to help these people out, man. We got to set this up so they're going to believe what we're going to tell them. So let's put in some, we'll call it predictive programming, but it's really prescriptive programming. There you go. Prescriptive programming. Tell me what you think. Bye.
Ben, here with Rochello in the live stream, December 11th, 2015. Hi, Rochello.
Hello.
For the kind words sent to me the other day.
Yeah, I was just telling you that, you did a really good job with those guys. I think that I had those thoughts before about, like, how good of a host you are. You know, I mean, just keeping people involved in the conversation and, you know, asking, I would never think to do that, you know, as a host and stuff. And just the way you handle, certain folk, I think it really shows,
nice.
Really, you know, I guess you must, just from listening to radio for so many years, you must have picked up a lot of, you know what I mean? Whether you know it or not, a lot of kind of professional, I guess, skills, whatever you want to call it,
I'm just mimicking.
Yeah, you did a good job.
The art of mimicking. Thank you. I don't always agree with the guests, but I want them to get their message out so others can just make their own decision. Sometimes I like to school these people on what I know.
Yeah.
And have a bit of a conversation.
Well, now was that just a random thing, or was that planned for a little bit, or those three guys, have you been trying to...
Listen to those three guys for so many hours now. I want to just my impression of them while I'm talking to them. When I post stuff on fakeologist.com, I don't know how many people listen to the stuff that I post of other people's, work.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't at all. I tend to think, based on what I can tell, that most people don't click on the links that I put out. They might read the post, but they don't follow up on any of the stuff I put on, audios and otherwise. I don't think. Not too much.
I really have time to, usually if I'm sitting down, I'm like basically just like, watching an old video or something like that. Like videos from like news videos, basically like old news videos or something. I never really sit down and look at the posts and stuff, but, I think who was I listening to you and somebody else, and you're talking about how you don't have anything to talk about and just check out the blog. And I was like, oh yeah, obviously that's a good. So I got to do that more and more. And I actually will have some time this weekend to sit down and actually read some stuff. So I'm kind of excited about that. The week's been wild and crazy. I've probably only gotten like 25 hours of sleep this week.
Still walking on steel beams high above the earth?
Yeah, we're building this new middle school right now. And I don't know. I'm on a roof now for this job, but, it's just raining
right this
out
second,
here.
Are you?
No, I'm not. No, hell no. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm working on a roof now, and it's been raining like, so bad, flooding and stuff. And so it's just horrible. I'm soaking wet, driving home. I've made 3 miles. I've progressed 3 miles in like 40 minutes. So I got another hour.
Why? Is there super heavy traffic?
Yeah, I think they call this the Highway 26 parking lot. It just does not move. So, yep.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
We have bad traffic here at rush hour. Let's see. Here are 3 hours. So now 4:12 there. So that's probably rush hour for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Afternoon, it starts about 2:30. Right. Yeah. I'm working on my teleporter. I'm trying to fix my teleporter so I don't have to do this anymore, the driving and stuff.
I should have just flown
my helicopter today.
You're right when you say Well, it's Delqua who often says, I got nothing to talk about. And I said, no, what are you talking about, Delqua? There's lots to talk about. Go into the blog and we can, I guarantee we won't even get past one or two posts before we'll fill a lot of airtime talking about what we both are pretty interested in.
Are you driving right now also, or?
Not right now. I'm just waiting out for somebody.
I just wanted to say one thing though. I was thinking about the reason why I haven't really looked into flat earth and stuff like that too much is because I kind of see it like this. It's like, I'll start by saying that I don't believe NASA or anything that they say. Basically, I mean, how could you believe the pictures that they show us from up earth and what it's supposed to look like and everything? If you don't believe in the moon landings and stuff like that, like obviously the first time that we got pictures of the Earth was from NASA, doing their moon missions and stuff. And I mean, if you disregard all that stuff, then, you definitely have to question general structure of whatever we're living on. But also at the same time, I don't think that it needs to be so deeply investigated only because I don't think that you'll really find anything. You'll figure out anything necessarily by investigating the shape of something, because it's almost like a pizza. You can make a pizza triangle. You can cut a pizza into a square. You can cut it into a circle, but ultimately it's still a pizza. And so, you could crumble the pizza up too. Now it's just crumbled pizza. And so I just don't think that, by knowing the shape of something that's going to, we know they're lying. I just figure that was good enough. You know what I mean? But just by knowing the shape of something, that's not really going to tell you much about its properties, altogether. So, what say you?
Well, not a ball, not a big blue marble. Then what is it? How could you not be curious?
Oh, I'm
where we are
and
what we're living on.
Super curious, but again, I'm saying that I don't think that the shape should be. I don't think it's the part. It's the fact that it's made about what is the shape of it. You know what I mean? I guess I figure, like, I don't know. I feel like the secrets and basic secrets of life are probably hidden in the most basic things, you know? Like, why do we get up and why do we go to sleep every day, you know? Like, why do we have to use the bathroom? And, well, why do we go to sleep? The sun sets in a 24-hour time period, and we get tired within that certain amount of time period, you know what I mean? Just the most basic things, I feel like that's where the biggest mysteries are, and that's where, you know what I mean, that's where you'll find out the most information. I mean, we don't even understand little things like that, and so just figuring out the shape of something, I just feel like that's kind of, it's not taking into account the different aspects of what's involved with I guess I'm not really explaining myself very well, sorry. I mean, really the best argument that I have, or the best analogy that I have, is the thing about the pizza, you know? It's a pizza, but it's in a different shape, and I mean, you know, what does that really... So what you need to know what kind of pizza now, you know? Like, what's in it, and what's on it, and stuff like that, you know? It doesn't matter what the shape is, ultimately, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I disagree. I think it does matter what the shape is, because let's put it this way. I like to know how things are done, how deceptions are done.
Oh, yeah.
That's an interest of mine. I like how magic tricks are done. And again, I'd like to know sure of where we are. Age old problem. It's a big tricky problem to overcome unless you can get away and stand back somehow from Earth. And it's only recently that we've been able to fly, get off the ground and stop the ground and look down. This is a recent phenomena. 100 years is nothing if you believe we've been around for hundreds or thousands of years. Now is the time to ask for an honest inquiry. And it's really hard when you're in the forest to see the whole forest. But if we have the ability to get up and above where we are living, like an honest shot of what it is and where we are. And of course, again, it's another great way to draw maps. I still don't quite understand how you can draw a map when you're driving a boat around the water.
It's tricky.
They use the stars in the sky, and they had to make a lot of assumptions, I guess, as to how the stars move, and they use the moon as a guide as well, because the moon was a constant, the sun was a constant. These are certain. Now you would think way easier to draw a map with computers and with airplanes, and because I know airplanes are real, I know computers are real, but else satellites I don't believe are real, but a plane can be like a satellite. I believe those are real. I believe reconnaissance and planes are real, and they can fly super high and get really great views. I just want to see a real view. So I think it does matter. It really does matter. We have everything we need on Earth to work together to figure this out. So why are the people that run the show, are they so afraid to let us know?
Well, yeah, I suppose this question then, you know, what, if you were to figure out it was flat, then, I mean, then what, you know?
Well, really want to know why did they make up a story that it is a blue marble or a sphere or an oblate spheroid or an oblate spheroid that looks more like a pear? Why do they keep lying? And that's really the answer I want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why lie? What is the reason for the lie? That's all. I'm not too worried about the fact that it could be flat. I think flat is just the assumption people make throughout time, because that is what our 5 or 6 or 9 senses tell us. We live, where we are, where we're standing is flat, flat, flat. Now, we cannot get high enough, get a big enough perspective to tell if it just keeps going on and on as flat. Challenge right now. That's the real problem. Because the people that control the skies and the space not telling the truth.
I guess I feel like it's just such a massive undertaking to try, and because, I mean, we'll be looking at it for the rest of our lives, I guess, then.
Why is it a massive undertaking? United States citizens give half their income to the government on military, so they can go around and they float around, and there's really no, they don't have any natural enemies. All that money and time and personnel, why don't they use that to go up and tell us the truth?
No, exactly. No, so I say that it shouldn't be a massive undertaking. Like, we should already, it would be so easy to figure out, obviously, right? But I'm saying that.
All the resources? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's such an easy question, obviously. But, and so with that said, you know, for us, it's not, because we don't have the ability to go up there and look for ourselves. You know what I mean? So I'm saying it's kind of like a massive undertaking for us personally. But the way that I see it also, it's almost like taking you took tests in school or whatever, like a multiple choice or something like that or whatever. But you always leave if you can't answer the question, you know what I mean? Like right away on the test, you kind of do the ones that you can do really easily. You do the easy questions first, right? And then afterwards, you go back and you review those questions that you were struggling on a little bit, because you don't want to waste time trying to answer the hardest question, and then you don't get all the other answers to the question. And then also by just leaving it alone for a moment, maybe if you answer all the other questions, something will ring a bell, or you know what I mean, or you'll be able to come up with the answer just on your own, or maybe there'll be some clue in another question and you'll remember, you know what I mean. And so I think that kind of answering the easy questions, you know what I mean, that are easier for us right now to figure out, I think that that's probably the way to go, even though it's still a rather important thing. You know what I'm saying?
But questions are easy.
Well, I guess the ones that we were, and also, you know, that's not totally set it aside. I'm just saying that, you know, to have it be the all-encompassing thing to have it be a all-encompassing, like, forever question, you know what I mean, that will never be solved.
Enough, people. Well, the hope always, of course, would be if enough people are interested in questioning it, pushing the envelope, maybe someone will listen. So.
Right. Yeah, but that's pretty much all. Those are just things that I was thinking about the other day. You know.
If everyone was like you and said, well, what does it really matter? It's so fundamental. Well, why does anything matter? If you don't think that this matters, and why does anything matter, really?
I don't think I said it didn't matter. I think that I just question as to what revealing information it's going to give you to figure out the shape. I mean, I think it'll give a lot, but I was just saying that, you know, no matter what the shape is, again, back to the pizza thing, you know, you still don't know what it is, and so that's why, you know what I mean?
Well, if it's a ball, and if there's nowhere to hide, if there is... there's nothing beyond the ball except black. Mm-hmm. And that wraps up the question of are there any hidden places or corners? If the explanation is we are on a ball, that is a perfect way to say there's nothing to hide. There's nowhere to hide. If you just keep walking, you're going to end up back where you were before, no matter what direction you take. And it's a sphere is just a perfect shape to tell people to stop looking, stop wondering, because there's just nothing else beyond the ball. Either go up, right, or you go down into the ball. Even if you burrowed into the ball, you'd come out on the other side. There's just nothing else. No. There's nothing extra. Now, if it's not a ball, something else, then it really opens up a huge can of worms.
What else could there be? Yeah.
Now,
I mean, they probably really are. There probably really is. There has to be places that probably aren't mapped on, you know what I mean, for us. Like, there's got to be some places that we just can't go. I mean, whether it's underground or whether it's in the...
I don't think it's underground. Underground. I think there are places on Earth that people don't go to. I think they're just really categorized as observed as wild. I think Patagonia, down in Argentina, Chile, they say, they even tell everyone that it's a vast tract of
fairly habitable land that there's hardly any human. All the millionaires and billionaires go down there and drop all their money there and allegedly buy up tracts of land so other people can't come down and develop it. That's what we're told. So I think there's actually on the map that they even tell us we can't go and they want to preserve, for instance. But beyond that, I think there's a possibility there are. If the maps are wrong, really, this is just part of the whole investigation. If the maps are wrong, well, yeah, there could be whole areas in the Pacific, which we are told is a huge, vast area where people could live in isolation. Now it would be now with that with mass.
And yeah, I wasn't.
It wouldn't be as big of a deal to be in isolation anymore. I would say it's getting harder and harder to isolate yourself in the world now. Great thing. Of course,
yeah,
it seems like there's a Walmart in every country. So it doesn't matter where you live. The only difference is the weather.
That's true. yeah, I was just saying that, you know, whether it's underground or in the four corners of the earth or something like that, I definitely think that, you know, or in the sky, or, you know what I mean? Wherever it happens to be, there has to be a place that we don't know about, you know what I mean? That's not mapped anywhere, basically, not even Patagonia. I mean, just exactly what you're saying, like whole vast area that is just totally not, you know what I mean, spoken of, basically. You know, I mean, that would be, that people wouldn't even think to, I mean, I don't know, big wide open pieces of ocean and stuff like that, you know what I mean? I guess there could be anything there, you know? So I see your point for sure.
Most of us don't have the ability to get outside our 5 square miles where we live, where we're born, where we live, and where we die. Heard as high as 95% of the population dies within 5 miles of where they're born, which means that most people
don't leave.
Most people don't get out of their area.
I didn't know.
Don't get to explore. Not explorers at all. I can only know what I'm told is happening in Portland or in Patagonia or in Darwin, Australia. I'm only going to get my information electronic. There's almost no chance I'm going to go there. There's almost no chance that most of the world is going to go there that's already there. So few people, mobile as we could be, that can get and see themselves. What does that mean? It just means that we're more susceptible to being told what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
They accept it. They have no way to verify it. Now, two things have happened, I would say, in history that are pretty recent. That is mass communication and air travel. Suddenly, we can go to never been before. And I think if people fully realize and work together and figure out where we are and what's over there and what's really over there, if we want to actually I think air travel should be way cheaper and way more accessible. It should be.
It should be way cheaper.
There should be way more planes. And the big thing they control with planes is fuel. And we know that fuel is probably unlimited. If that's the case, then there should be hundreds of times more planes, and they should be very cheap. So in other words, I should be able to go to Europe weekend for little or no money. They control that because it's a very easy control thing. I can't park an airplane in my driveway. It's just too big. It needs too much space. So I can't do it. It's just another thing for them to control and therefore control the mobility of most of the population.
Your driveway's not big enough for a plane?
Well, I don't live where John Travolta lives. I know his is. I know we're told that he parks his plane in his driveway. Well, the only guy that I've ever seen really that does that.
Yeah, I just have a helicopter pad for my helicopter.
Sounds like the noise coming from your phone sounds like a helicopter. Sounds like you're about to lift off.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I actually am in my helicopter.
Technology.
Does it sound better?
About the same.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting slightly distracted here in this traffic and downtown, and I don't know where I'm going now. And yeah, traffic's really bad.
Hey, one sec here. I got to I gotta take a call. 1 second, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Rochello!
Hey, what's up, Kay?
What up?
What a treat, my friends in the audio chat.
I was just thinking about you today at work. I was like, man, I'm about to say what up, but I can't because I'm in the rain. Yeah, I just stand around and kind of listen to my talk radio as much as I can while I'm working. How you been?
I'm doing great. Were you chatting along? Did I disrupt a solo?
Yeah, you did actually. So no, I'm kidding. No, I was Abba was taking a phone call, so pausing for a moment.
Oh, okay.
I observed this beautiful downtown Portland scenery. It's basically just, I don't know if you know what brake lights look like, but that's pretty much what my view is right now. Brake lights and rain. Wonderful.
Are you on the road in your car?
Oh my God. Yes. I was just telling Ab, like, I freaking meant to bust out the helicopter today.
Son of a bitch. Why didn't you?
I know, because I'm an idiot. I'm going to do it next week, though. I mean, I'm not putting up with this. I don't even know what's going on right now. Oh my God. Yeah, next week, though, I'm going to fly my helicopter to work and stuff like that. I just don't think that they have any landing spots for me on the job site, but I'll have to figure that out with the GC.
Yeah, just find a neighboring building like all those other Navy SEALs and, you know, special James Bond. Just go any building, I think.
Yeah, this is an emergency, so I'm going to have to use your lawn here for a moment. How's work for you?
Oh my God, the kids are on overdrive. They're sucking in all this propaganda like crazy. Mm.
Tell me about it. What do you do? What do they say?
Dude, I want to take ISIS and I want to take a baseball bat to their fucking head.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. Hey, you know what's funny? That's funny because I was just thinking this because I work with a lot of, you know, rednecks basically, and they're super into it too. They have the same attitude. Like, you know what I mean? They have this, like, I'm an American. You're not going to fucking come into my country. And you're not going to try and take my guns. I'll give you the gun. I'll give it to you in your brain. How about that? Like, you know, that's how these guys are. It is the first thing they talk about in the morning. They come and set their lunch boxes down. They're like, did you guys hear about? And so I just walk away. I have to just walk away. But you know what today the guy said at lunch? So funny. He was like, I said something and I was like, I don't watch the news. You know what I mean? Because they were talking about, I was like, oh yeah, I don't really watch the news. He's like, yeah, me neither. It was like, but it is as just as entertaining. He's like, it is just as entertaining as anything else on the news. It's like, but it's real. This is what he said. He's like, it's more entertaining. It's just as entertaining as Hollywood movies and films, except for it's real. It's like, that's how I watch the news now. I'm like, oh my
wow.
God.
Like, he knows what? It's fake. That's
he knows
subliminally.
Exactly.
He knows.
No, he knows it's fake, but they're telling you it's real. So then now it's real. Yeah. Crazy, huh? I was like, wow.
Hi, Ab.
Hi, Kay. Waiting to butt in here.
Yeah. Oh, No, that's fine. We just Ab there. How you doing, Ab? How's everything going?
I'm good. How are you? I came into earlier. I heard you were doing a talk, so I didn't interrupt that one.
Did you?
Ready? Instead of predictive programming, I got a better word, prescripted programming.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, I came up with another word too. I was trying to figure out what to call these things, San Bernardino and all this stuff. I don't want to call it a hoax. I don't want to call it a shooting or whatever, because now there's bombings now, as you know, all kinds of stuff going on. I was like, it's just a show then, you know what I mean? It's a San Bernardino show, and they're always case, so it's a showcase, dude. All these crime cases and whatever, they're just showcases now, you know? Oh yeah, that's
well. It's I like my term. It's an HRD.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, our hyper realistic drill portrayed as real.
Oh yeah, not trying to step on your term there, Ab, but you know, mine is better.
Okay, we all have our own terms.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yours is more explanatory, and mine is just like, yeah, it's a show, dude. That's it. It's just a show. So. And it's a good show too.
And it's something that people are really into also and get really excited about. And it's like almost like, I mean, I really feel like the guys that I work with, like some of them like wish that shit would happen here. You know what I mean? Like, because it's so exciting to them. Like, it is so exciting.
Oh, yeah, they want action.
Yeah.
If only they knew it was fake, how boring that is for them.
Well, you know, so I basically, have you guys seen this Naomi Wolf video? Naomi Wolf.
Call that?
Fake news.
I posted that a while ago.
Oh, there's
something
okay.
new.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, why are we even, I'm almost done talking about it, dude. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's so obvious and they're admitting it. And so it's like, I don't even look into the shootings and anything like that anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I'm done with it, dude.
Is that what you're saying or is that what she said?
Oh, that's what,
unclear.
No, that's kind of what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Yeah, you know what video I'm talking about, right?
Well, I posted something by Naomi Wolf, and I actually have on my screen Miles Mathis, who the M&M is telling me that he's definitely another revelation of the method agent, I think.
Oh, she is? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, Miles Mathis is giving us almost his essays in PDF form, why he insists on doing that, but I don't like PDF, but... harder to read, but he does essays on psyops hoaxes and mostly on these Hollywood or public figures, reveals what he thinks is who they are.
Okay.
Done one on just about everybody now. Marilyn Monroe, Miles Mathis, Klein, Noam Chomsky, just busting them all down and explaining how all the court television is all definitely fake because it's illegal to film in a real courtroom. So that's the easiest clue that you're watching fakery.
Mm-hmm. Is it really? I actually think I tried to look that up actually because.
Yeah, well, he cited it. Cited something. I can't remember what it was or where it was, but it's. Yeah, they.
Yeah.
Oh, most court cases. Maybe not.
Public.
I think all key. I don't think any courtrooms is allowed to be a television. So when Judge Judy has her court, those people agree to alternative mediation. They are waiving their right to go to traditional court by going on television court, which you just call alternative mediation. Always alternative mediation, I believe most systems to keep out of the court, which is just more expensive, so they'll have a mediator. Even divorces, you don't have to go to court. You can, if you both parties agree to a mediator, they will just.
Right.
Yeah, that's way cheaper. It's always cheaper when people agree.
Right. Yeah. So just putting them in front of the court is just a show. But I mean, it's
just the fact that it's on TV is telling you that it's not real.
Exactly.
Closed. OJ was as fake as they come.
Well, I mean, and CNN admitted that, though, like in their 35. I mean, they just said, yes, OJ Simpson is exactly what you guys have been saying for years, that OJ Simpson was the father of reality TV. The first, you know, that's what they said. So,
well, it seems they always tell the truth, and that's their confessional. And if you are enough to recognize confessionals, then nothing more to talk about. They tell you it's fake. If you don't want to look at what they're telling you, or you want to ignore it or not find it because you don't know what to look for, then the way they look at it is then you deserve to manipulate it because you're just not paying attention.
Yeah. Good.
I was just going to say that the people listening to this who don't have enough fake theology experience might say, what happened? Who got killed then? Where's his wife? Where did she go?
Aww.
And I was just going to bring it back to the Naomi Wolf thing. You know, if we're talking about the same video where she's giving that talk and she's just saying, yeah, the media does fake news. They do fake events and people don't really understand this, but here's why, basically. So I'm looking at the crowd and their faces and I'm wondering if they even understand what she's saying. And I'm thinking that they're probably a majority of the people in the room don't really understand, even when they're being told what's going on. Just like Kay said, I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of us have seen the movie Sim 1. Have you guys seen that? Simone Sim 1?
No.
With the,
I tried to watch it, or was it on YouTube? I don't think it was that interesting. No, I think I tried. It was not a good movie. It was not.
With Al Pacino?
Yeah, it was not interesting. Bad movie, but I was looking for the digital effects, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, one thing that that he says in there is that he tells them over and over and over again. He tries to just break it, like, look, you know what I mean? She's not real. And they're like, sorry, I'm driving a stick here, too. They don't understand what he's saying. They're like, oh, well, how could you say that about her? You know what I mean? Like, what do you...
Okay,
that's so rude. You know what I'm saying? So even when he tries to tell them over and over and over again, just in the most, you know, how much more obvious can you get it by just being like, hey, I made her. She's not real. They did not understand, you know? And so I feel like that's...
I would say they did not accept it. Yeah. Not accept
it. Yeah, they did.
Because it was... Was conflicting with their belief system.
Sorry. One second. I think that they don't accept it initially, but I think that also it takes a little bit to sink in. They don't. I really truly think that the word understand is appropriate there. I really don't think that they fully understand that they're not grasping what the words are. You know what I mean? Fully, because they are kind of coming from their own perspective, I guess. And so, you know, it just doesn't sink in, and they just really do not understand the words that he's saying, even though it's in plain, clear English. It's like, hey, I'm going to the store, you know, and they're like they just don't, they have no idea what you're talking about because they don't know what a store is or something, you know?
Not comprehend, yeah.
Okay, comprehend, yeah. But basically, the crowd, when she's telling them about the news and stuff like that, that's pretty much... That was the impression that I got, was people, their faces, the look on their faces was just like, what's going on? Like, I don't really fully understand. She did a really good job of explaining it, though.
Well, did she, or did she just give enough information to see if people would, your way of thinking, or does something have to be said in a more forceful way? In other words, these people are shaken and say, do you understand? Comprehend the implications of what I'm saying. You really, really know what I'm saying, because you guys are not reacting in a way that's appropriate for this kind of information. You should be very, very angry about what I'm saying. This is very, very bad information that has very, very serious implications for your reality. She was just saying in a gentle way that it could be brushed off as, oh, she's just got a little theory here that she's trying to spout out for Bob. Yeah.
Have you seen that video, Kay? Kate?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. What video are we talking about? Simone again?
No.
Oh, the Naomi.
Yeah, the Naomi Wolf.
Yeah, I saw it, and she sure looked like controlled opposition, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. But she's telling the truth, though, right there. Yeah, no doubt. Oh, no doubt. She's got
both. And I think what her method is, she knows only a select few will even understand what she's saying. And that's us.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to say, that the people in the crowd didn't understand, even though she's telling them what exactly she was saying. I could tell. But still, though, the fact that she, you know what I mean, would just put it out there like that, I don't know what that says, really, but I mean.
But notice how she doesn't give any proof or evidence of what she says.
True.
Really.
I know, exactly.
So it leaves it to your own imagination. So if I'm a dude who doesn't want to believe it and I hear that, I'm like, oh, well, maybe, you know, that festival really didn't happen down the street or whatever. But maybe they're not thinking I'm constantly being lied to. And you know what?
Right.
She should be also saying it's all a lie. for those people listening, it's actually basically all a script, and she's acting like only a couple events are scripted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she, I just...
She's giving a little bit of truth. Little bit of truth, that's all she's giving.
Yeah. But her little bit of truth hides reality is the problem, right? Because now you're thinking of, your brain is now stuck in only a couple things are fake. So conveniently, everything you want to be real is going to be real because she told you that way.
Right.
Selective belief. What's being encouraged.
Yes, exactly. And our brains are good at finding that.
Oh, fucking bikers, dude. I wish it was the snow already. Oh, am I not supposed to do this? Yeah. Sorry, guys. I'm driving a stick, using push to talk, maneuvering my way through traffic.
You're doing a great job at it.
Thank you. I haven't killed anybody yet. Yeah, I drive this little stick to work because it's like 7,000 miles away from my house. And a lot of gas, driving Jeep.
So, do you always have to take classes then for the rest of your life, Rochelle, for your job?
I hope not. I think that after you get your journeyman's card, you're supposed to, I know that in the union, you have to do some re-education like every year or something like that. I don't know what that entails. But no, basically after I'm done with my 4 years or whatever and I get my card, I have my card, you know. But to stay in the union, they want you to keep doing other stuff too, so.
Do you have to pay for it or do they pay for it?
My company pays for it if I my company pays for it. But I have to pass my classes and go and stuff like that. And then if you don't, then they make you pay for it and then they reimburse you after you pass. So that's how that works.
Well, that's kind of cool. They're helping the people get smart and do a trade.
Yeah, they make a lot of money off of it, and I'm sure it's a huge tax write-off, too, for them.
Everyone gets paid.
Yeah. And you know, so basically, you know, there's these jobs, it's, you know, the prevailing wage jobs. I only get a percentage of, you know, $54 an hour is what the guys make after you have your card and stuff like that. And I only get, you know, whatever percentage that I am as an apprentice, I only get that percentage paid. And so the rest of the money goes to the company, basically. But the thing about it is that just for the company to get the jobs, like they have to have apprentices working on the job. So I always am the first person on the prevailing wage job. So I just go from PW to PW to PW. So, yeah, it's good for the wallet, I guess.
And you do buildings?
Yeah, it's architectural sheet metal, but it's the sheet metal apprenticeship. And so that's architectural, which is, you know, the structural, like outside of the building, make it look pretty and stuff like that. Paneling, siding and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of waterproofing and stuff. And then the other side of the sheet metal is, HVAC, which is, you know, heating, cooling, obviously. And so, you know, we install the, and build all the, pieces for an HVAC system and stuff like that. So for all the commercial buildings and everything. So I did that and now I'm doing architectural and I'm probably going to switch back to HVAC because I hate working outside, but I'm kind of trying to stick with this until I know enough about it to where I can just go back and forth like that.
You go, girl. Wow. That is awesome.
It's not glamorous, but yeah, it's cool. I'm happy to do something, you know. I didn't work for like 3 years, honestly, because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't want to just work, you know, at a gas station or whatever. So I guess this is why I chose this route. And I mean, I've always been, the jobs that I've always had, I've been in a position to where I can listen to talk radio or something like that. I'm always able to kind of work by myself, you know what I mean? And so that's something that I definitely need.
Isn't that interesting? And Ab, you listen quite a bit while you drive as well?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
You know, me and Dell were having a conversation and I was trying to say that, you know, there should be a time when there's got to be some kind of common denominator that we all share, or maybe multiple common denominators that we all share as to why we're all kind of on this path here, you know? And me and Dell were kind of saying, you know, definitely one of them is just people just don't have the time to do the, I guess what we call an investigation, just to look into stuff, you know, that we've looked into.
True.
And they don't even
That's definitely true.
They don't even have the time to listen, you know what I mean? And so, you know, Dell, you know, he said he works on houses and painting and stuff, and that's how he you know what I mean, started down his I don't want to put words in his mouth, but basically he was able to, you know, listen while he worked all day. I worked at a, at nighttime, I walked around for 6 hours and just cleaned the hospital. And so, you know, I realized I couldn't listen to rap. I couldn't listen to music for 2 hours, you know, so I just started listening to talk radio. And so that's 6 hours a day times, 5 days a week times like 6 months, you know, that's a lot of audio to listen to. And basically you're literally just listening, you know, and so you're actually, you're not able to conversate with anybody or reject anything. You know what I mean? It's just the way Delph put it, you know, it's just taking it all in basically. And so I've had the opportunity to do that. And I'm wondering if, you know what I mean? If that's kind of the same route that, everybody else has had, because we all kind of came through the Alex Jones. You didn't listen to Alex Jones, did you, Ab? But we all kind of went down that route. And I mean, how could people ever get past it unless they
listened to Alex for, I would say a month.
Oh, okay. And then what happened?
Got tired of being yelled at all the time. That's what happened.
For so long.
It actually it began to aggravate me. Really, it aggravated me.
Yeah, I guess it's probably really, like a. Yeah. For me, I'm like used to getting yelled at by grown men, so it's like, oh, this is totally normal and funny, actually. I can see how, as a grown man, that's like, hey, do you want to fight or something, buddy? Like, I'll just turn you off. How about that?
Well, you know, I do, Ab. Like you mentioned, the PDFs from Miles Mathis, they're so, I don't have that much time to sit down and read. So I just get Natural Reader and I copy and paste and I just drop it into there and I let the computer voice talk to me.
Oh, see, I thought about that, but I can't. So you don't like Alex Jones' voice. I do not like those voices, the natural thing. Like I can't handle it for some reason, but I have thought about that. Like, that's exactly what I want to do with like a lot of these articles, but I figured that it'd probably be like, oh, well, you said you drop it into it. Okay. Sorry.
And she talks like this. And then President Kennedy got shot in the head.
That's too funny.
It sounds like that.
That's funny. You can pay money
to get more realistic voices if you want, but I'm too cheap. I'm not going to pay anyone.
That would almost be the only way that I could do it because, yeah, it would just turn every, and then he got shot in the head. Yeah, see, it would just turn everything into a joke for me and I would just start laughing. I'm young.
I tried to record it once. The computer voice. Yeah, I set on my Audacity and I still might do it later. I did that because, there was a paper on Newton and how his formulas are actually flawed. They're estimations. They were never meant to be exact ever. None of Newton's formulas. That's why he calls it Principia Mathematica instead of physics. He calls it math because it's not physics. He's just estimating. And so I really wanted to learn that. So I did. I recorded that to an audio, the computer voice, and I just kept listening to it till I understood it.
What did you learn?
Well, yeah, what I told you.
So that's just the whole point is that it's just math, basically. It's not meant to be taken literally.
Yes, and it never was. And by the way, that's one more piece of circumstantial evidence that we never got in space because his formulas are not exact. So if they're using his formulas to get up in space, they're lying pieces of shit.
That is one thing that I totally agree on is that if they have been up there, they haven't given us any evidence that they have and they're purposely like not doing that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that, I think I go back and forth with things. I think that's natural. Like sometimes I'll believe something for a couple of days and try and like, okay, I accept that and then think about it and like, no, and now I completely reject that, you know? For me, like the satellite, I was kind of wondering about the satellite thing, you know, that was one of those things where I'm like, like satellites are probably now I totally, that was kind of the last straw, I guess, for me about just the whole space thing, like whether or not we've been up there is satellites. And it's like, yeah, satellites aren't real. And so now it's over with, dude. Like, I don't think that we've ever, there's no reason for us to even go up there, really, basically, you know. I mean, the ISS is, it's beyond my comprehension. But basically, I just think that we have, like, an elaborate light show in the sky. That's pretty much what I think right now.
I don't think we're seeing anything, though. I think we're pretending we think we see shit, and it's just other stuff up there.
Like what?
Well, I stargaze quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lay out on any night where it's clear, you will see these blinking lights so far up. They're not planes. They can't be planes, but they're huge. They're way up there. I mean, I think they're at like 40, 50,000, maybe more. You know what? I don't even know what scale I'm talking about, but they're way up there. I had a hard day, a bunch of teenagers asking math questions. My brain is fried right now.
Oh, NASA doesn't know, but Kay knows how far. Okay.
But it's flying. It goes from, and it's usually from east to west is usually the route they're all taking. And you can find it. If you just look hard enough, you can start to see it looks like a star, but it's blinking. But if you really look at it, it's slowly moving from east to west. So what the hell would do that?
Well, wouldn't that be, isn't that supposed to be the spin, right? Because all the stars would be moving, wouldn't they?
Just one is. All the rest of the stars are staying in formation.
So you're saying that if you were to leave it for an hour and come back, it would be closer to something, it would be closer to another star than it previously was or something? Or?
Oh, no, it travels pretty quickly. It would go from east to west in about 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. So almost like a comet.
Well, 3 minutes is pretty long if we just talk for, yeah, and it's blinking the whole time.
Okay.
So it's clearly some sort of certified aircraft who doesn't want to get hit by any other aircraft. That's why they're lit. It's not secret, is it?
I think I may know what you're talking about. I mean, is it super bright? Super, super bright though, or no?
It's a little brighter than a star, but just look at the east. And if you just stare at one spot for a while, you know, and then go to another spot and stare at it for a while, you'll start to see these things up there that are blinking moving from east to west. You'll start to see and you're like, holy shit, there's one right there. What the hell is that? I think they're blimps or zeppelins, and those are what they're using for satellites.
Hmm.
I'm speculating.
This is all speculation, yeah.
I don't have security clearance to know that shit for real.
Just to say, you got to jump to a lot of conclusions to come to this conclusion that I have here. But no, would you think that it would be multiple ones? Like, I mean, because they say, that's what's so funny about it, is that don't they say there's like 13,000 satellites floating around, flying past each other with space debris and all kinds of stuff? They love the word debris, which is funny. All kinds of space debris and satellites and parts of the ISS flying off and stuff like that. Like that's our vision of space. That's the picture that they're painting. But yet when you see all the video of like the Earth or whatever from ISS and all this stuff, you don't see one set. You don't even see a piece of debris like flying around. So I'm wondering if they do have something that's similar to a satellite, would they really need like 13,000 of them? So do you think that it would just be one or two or?
Well, I tried to count them and you get one like every 5 minutes. So if one passes overhead, it takes about 3 minutes from east to west. Then by the time it goes over the other edge, 2 more minutes, another one comes along.
And are they higher than planes? They're higher than planes is what you're saying.
I think they're double. Whatever planes are, they're double or triple that is what it feels like. Because you can't see any other, you just see one light blinking. And by the way, lights have no exterior lighting and no interior lighting. There's no lighting on satellites. So it can't be a traditional, what they say a satellite is.
Yeah. Aren't we supposed to see like Mars and stuff like that too, flickering and everything?
Yeah, it's out there. It's a little orange, globey kind of thing. You can see it in your telescope.
We yeah, I was just
telescope from the Boeing store. Oh. A shitty wood one that keeps moving. But, you know, you can at least once you aim it, that's the hard part. But it gives you a real good image once you get it aimed. But none of my family could aim it right, so they gave up. I was the only one that had the patience to get it to sight the actual object.
I'm going to figure this out.
that's true.
Well, sorry. Damn it, I lost what I was going to say because I'll think about it. It was a good
satellite
question.
Going to blinking, something
like
that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering about Mars and stuff like that. Like, what is that supposed to be reflecting off of? I mean, the sun, too? I mean, that's just so weird how we would be able to see it, you know what I mean? Flashing and flickering. I don't know. That's just so odd to me.
That's good, right?
I mean,
oh my God, it should be like the moon, right?
Right, yeah.
We would see half of Mars when the moon was on one, when the sun was on one side and the other half of Mars like we do the moon. Why don't we?
Well, and the moon also, that's supposedly being, the reason we can see it is because it's being reflected off of the sun. Is that what?
Huh.
Like it,
that's
like, right?
Interesting thing. You're right. Yeah. The moon's supposed to reflect sunlight.
That's the only reason we can see it.
So what you're saying, if we see Mars, then it's also reflecting sunlight.
Yeah. I mean, from that far away, which is just, isn't that bizarre though? I mean, can't we see like Pluto too, or you can see Jupiter too? It's like, so that also is reflecting the sun and everything. Like everything is, I don't know, it's just so weird that they're lit, you know, and the moon always looks so bright and it's just odd.
Oh, it shines in my bedroom window at night. It is so bright. It casts such a bright light. You know, there's like, it's weird. It's super bright. I mean, I can't feel a difference in the temperature though. I couldn't do that.
Oh yeah.
I tried it.
I couldn't. I would love, okay. I would just love to see you, doing your, you know, this little experiments alone or whatever. You don't really know who somebody is until you can, you know what I mean? Like, it's when we're alone, you know what I mean? We do all our little quirky things. That's who you really are, you know? And so it would just be so funny to just watch you testing the temperature of the moonlight in your room. I just, like, I don't sit here, sit there. Like, I don't feel a difference at all. Because I was wondering about that too. I'm like, how would I even begin to test that is the thing. So yeah, that's really funny. But, I love you, Kay. I think that you're hilarious and I just think it's so cute. So sorry, I wasn't tough.
It's funny. Yeah. Is that testing it? My husband's used to me by now though. First he was like, what the hell are you doing? What the hell is this for? What?
Yeah, he must absolutely love you. Yeah. I that's probably a good thing, you know, because I can see how you could, like me, like the way that I am talking constantly and ranting and babbling, basically, I think that's the best word. I am so lucky to have somebody that like puts up with me and is like, I could quickly, easily be alone for the rest of my life. Let's just put it that way.
Well, does he believe your boyfriend?
Oh,
does he believe in anything you say?
Everything. Yeah. See, here's the thing is that we went through the same journey together, basically. And he was just saying the other day, oh, I'm so happy. He's like, if I never met you, like, I would probably be believing in all this stuff too, because he doesn't really like do any of the, he doesn't really talk, you know what I mean? But he knows. And he's just like, oh yeah, wow, here we go again. You know, like he knows all of it, but I wish he would just speak more, I guess, because he does say some really funny, like interesting stuff when he does talk. And I try and encourage him to do that, you know, but he's just such a guy that he's just so quiet, you know, he's a quiet guy.
Yeah. Are you sure you're letting him talk? Just saying.
I know. Shut up. I know. I do. He rolls his eyes and stuff and yeah. So yeah. Cause I've heard it before, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's like, I already know.
That's cool. You can at least say stuff to him. I upset my husband quite a lot when I talk to Avery.
Oh, do you?
Quite a lot. Yeah, he gets very emotionally upset.
Yeah. What about your kids?
No. Oh, they believe me. I think. I think my 27-year-old son. 25.
Unloaded.
No, he's 25. Unloaded. Yeah, I said, what do you think? Am I crazy? I told him about dinosaurs and a couple other things, and he was like, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, tell me, do I sound crazy? I gave you my evidence. And what's the evidence? Basically, it's that they had pictures of the dinosaurs before they found any bones. So, there you go.
Well, the evidence is they don't have any evidence. That's the evidence.
No, and it's all British dudes. They started the whole dinosaur thing, and the plesiosaur and a couple other big finds that started the dinosaur movement were destroyed in a fire in the museum. All them bones.
That's just a coincidence, though.
Yeah, but they're supposed to be rocks, right? Because they're, what do you call the bones when they turn to rock?
Okay, you're sounding a little crazy here, all right? That's just a coincidence. Okay.
Petrified.
You're getting... Yeah.
They're petrified. So petrified bones is just rock. So how could rock burn up in a fire?
See, I would love to just sit these people down and just, I mean, why can't we just ask that one question? You know what I mean? It's too funny to me. Like,
yeah. And you know, perhaps in the beginning, these British dudes really thought they found dinosaurs, but I think the whale facial skeleton, go online and look at it. So the bulb out front is just a gelatinous goo. So, but if you look at their skeleton, it's very thin and narrow. So the skeleton's profile does not at all look like a whale's profile. Are you feeling me so far?
Skeletons.
The facial bones, the mandible and the jaw, you know, the jawbone and the eye socket and the head bone. You have to go online and look. If you just go whale bones, you'll see what I'm talking about. The whale face bone is really thin and narrow. Because the most of the whale's face is their little homing device. You know, what do they call that? You know, where they do the echolocation from? It's like a balloon. It's like a basketball sitting right on their face under their skin. And it's the echolocation organ.
Oh, okay.
So all whales have that. But the skeletons, of course, that washes away quickly because it's a sack of fluid. There's no bones there. But if you just look at the bone, it's a flat head. It's not a round head like you would expect. Like mammals, right? Our silhouette matches our facial bone pretty much. Because we don't have a ball of fluid sitting on our forehead.
Right, exactly. I know what you're saying. So they're trying to pass off whale bones that are whale bones. It's not like our bones where we have the perfect shape. So people, when they look at it, people aren't going to be like, oh, that's a whale. But they are whale bones. And that's what they're trying to say is what? What animal? What dinosaur?
Oh, any dinosaur, you name it. They're all freaking whale bones. But the first one was a plesiosaur. So what they did is they took the whale bone and just imagined the skin over it and called it a dinosaur. It's like, well, wait a minute. There's that gelatinous ball there. That's their echolocation organ you're missing there. So that's their fault. They're assuming the bone, if you slap skin on it, would be the animal. And that's not how whales work at all.
Right.
So perhaps, you know, they made the mistake in the beginning, but I think they knew what they were doing. I really do. And it was it came along with, at the same time as evolution, and they really needed to show dinosaurs existed and evolved in order to prove evolution theory.
And you said that once, and I guess I haven't really thought about it yet. And so I'm trying to, could you explain that if you could? I'm sorry. I'm driving.
Well, they didn't have any examples of evolution, right? When Darwin said, hey, evolution happened and animals change from one to another, we're like, no, they don't. Animals are just the same as they've always been. But with dinosaurs, how dinosaurs evolved into birds and shit like that, or birds evolved into dinosaurs, whatever, then they can prove, look, things changed because we found this strange creature and it's no longer living. It must have evolved.
Okay, yep. Rather than be extinct, which, why wouldn't you think that, you know?
Right. But I have a feeling dinosaurs never existed. They were...
Exactly.
Right. There's no strange animal. It's weird, though, if you think about it, right? We are here, and we've always been here, and these animals have always been here, and nothing has ever changed.
That is actually weird when you put it that way, yeah?
I think that really might be our reality.
That's a possibility. It's a possibility that can you imagine if we had to, if we die and then we have to come back and do it all over again? I mean, that,
I want to have some memory to make changes because I don't want to have to.
I mean, we don't know what our reality is, but I'm wondering if that's a possibility. You know, what if we have to live everybody's life from, you know what I mean? So we're able to. Damn it. Sorry, I keep switching channels with my finger. But I'm saying, what if we had to live everybody's life so that we could see everything from everyone's perspective? I don't know. And like, you had to do that till everybody did it, basically. I mean, how would that math work out? I don't know. I wonder things like that, though. Like, it'd be a great way to solve a problem, that's for sure.
Computer. That would take a long time. There's a formula for that. It's a permutation, but you can figure it out. Tell me how many people I'll plug it in, and I'll give you the number, how many lifetimes that will take.
Yeah, do you understand what I'm, is that interesting, though? Like, it's almost like the way a computer solves, cracks a code or whatever. It's like, goes through every sequence, you know what I mean? Like, every possible sequence, and then it finds the right one, you know? I'm like, maybe we have to, like, go through everybody's life, and, like, for what reason, I don't know, but, yeah, I guess there's 6-7 billion people on the planet, right? I mean, I can kind of believe that right now, looking at all this traffic. There are quite a bit of us, you know? I mean, there's so many of us, but who knows?
That's a good idea. Then that way you can learn compassion, you know, real compassion, sympathy and empathy.
Oh my God, it's getting annoying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like, that would be the best way to teach people about everything, right? You know? But you'd have to live the whole life, though, that's how we learn, is by going through all the experiences and, you know what I mean, having our mind kind of transform and change through, depending on what kind of experiences we have.
Oh, right. You come out a completely different person. You're like, no, I like this life. Don't send me away.
I know, dude. I hope I'm rich next time is what I'm hoping, dude. But
right. I need some money. Make this life a little easier.
I was saying earlier too, you know, about, you know, I think that the mysteries of our world are probably, the answer to those are probably lie within the most basic things. Like, you know, why we eat, why we have to eat, and why do we sleep and get tired? And, you know what I mean? Why do we, why do girls have their period? And I don't know, just really basic stuff. You know what I'm saying? I really feel like if we could answer those questions, that our reality would probably make more sense to us. I think.
You mean in a sense of, why does our biology demand it? Why couldn't we be some other type of being? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I was trying to make a roundabout point, and that's what sucks about the way that I speak, is that I say something because I'm trying to say something else first, and then I try and bring it back, and by the time I'm ready to bring it back, I've already forgotten what I was talking about. But basically, I was wondering one day, you know, why do we, the sun goes down within a 24-hour period, right? And we get tired within that period. We can't stay up more than 24 hours. Our bodies don't allow, you know, we go to sleep, we wake up with the sun and we go to sleep when it goes down. You know what I mean? So it's like, what the fuck is that, dude? Like that, even that right there is like, that's just weird to me. I don't know. And then why do we dream? We go to sleep and then we have dreams. It's like we're plugging in, like we dock every night to whatever, you know? And so it's so strange to me. And I've always wondered about dreams and stuff like that and what that was. And I don't know.
Wow. I want to know why we don't have psychic powers. Because that is some cool shit in the 70s and movies. I'm like, I'm going to explode some heads.
But
I was hoping.
We kind of do a little bit. You don't have a little bit of clairvoyance? We kind of do, though. So you can tell, you kind of know. I'm telling you, like, I'll be thinking about somebody that I haven't talked to in a while, and I'll look down at my phone, and they texted me. They just, you know what I'm saying? Like, weird stuff like that, you know? It's like you almost know what's going to happen, which makes me, I mean, are we living the same life over and over again? That would suck, because I don't want to do this life over again. And so, you know, that's what deja vu is, and it's like, hey, I've fucking done this before. I've been here before. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I'm not good at this talking while I'm driving at all. Actually, I'm trying not to kill people, mainly myself, even though I just said I'm ready to start another life. But not tonight. It's Friday.
It's Friday. You going out tonight?
No, unfortunately, I went out last night. I should not have done that.
So you're going to go home and crash? See, some shut-eye. Pre-scripted programming. I'm just going to keep saying that. Try and change the way I think about it. Pre-scripted programming.
Okay.
Hey, I'm here.
You said change the way you think about what?
Pre-scripted programming instead of predicted programming. Because it stops your brain from understanding the full reality around these hoaxes, around these fake things. They're not predicting anything. They're pre-scripting. They're telling you what the script's going to be in the future, not reality.
Mm-hmm. 1 second. Oh man, Jesus Christ. Okay.
Your blinker's missing a light, by the way.
Thank you, I know.
I heard it.
Oh man, that means that audio's too good. It's too good.
Too good.
Yeah, I know. What's the point of signaling, right? Yeah, so much going on out here in this world. But I like that, actually, pre-scripted programming. I really like that a lot.
And you're like, what's the show tonight? Who got killed tonight? What's on the show?
It is. It's right. The news is like the longest running reality TV show ever. Yeah. No kidding.
It is. That's crazy. I mean, once you think about it, how much lying they're doing. I think it's hard to wrap your head around just being lied to. And I'm watching all my students get upset about the news, you know, about ISIS, those motherfucker ISIS people. They're like, they're so pissed. I hope they come here. I hope they come here. I'll show them. I'm not afraid of them. I'm like, oh, honey. So it's sad. I try and use math on them. I'm like, the probability of ISIS coming here is so small. You're going to get hit by lightning first. You don't have to worry. You're fine. There's nothing to worry about. You're fine. Have you ever heard of anything happening local? No. You're good. You're good to go. Don't worry about it.
People only wished it did. They're like, man, I hope that the zombie apocalypse, because our lives are, we're so bored. Work, school, or work for a lot, you know what I mean? And it's just like, oh, it's almost more exciting. Like if ISIS did come and shoot up the mall or something like that, and maybe I get a day off work or something, you know what I mean? I tell you the truth, honestly, I have thought about, like, I was like, man, if something does happen here, like, that it's like a hoax, I'm gonna be like, yeah, my cousin was, like, the Umpqua shooting, it's like 2 hours away, though, from me. I was gonna be like, yeah, my cousin died in that, so I gotta take a couple days off work, and I gotta go down the road. People would believe it, you know what I mean? But I thought about kind of, you know, using these hoaxes for my benefit, I think. You know?
I love that. I love that, using the hoax for your benefit. That is so perfect. I guess 9/11 is over the top. Yeah, my cousin was in 9/11. I got to go there for an anniversary.
Yep.
I'm going to need some couple weeks off work.
They wouldn't even question it. But yeah, I wanted to write a book about how to 101 things to say to get out of work. I don't know what I would call the book, but basically 101 excuses. You know, so I came up with a lot of excuses as to why I cannot come in today. There's so many different things. Like, yeah, I should still do that, actually. But that would be one of them, you know what I mean? Just capitalize on any news of it, basically, and just tell them as to why you can't make it that day. So, because every day I wake up, I think of a new reason why I can't go in today, and I talk myself out of not calling in every single day. Even today, what was the excuse today was going to be, I think I was just going to be honest today. Like, I'm fucking hungover, dude. But I never call in and I'm never late. So they're not even mad at me. You know what I mean? I'm just like, they were like, what happened? I'm like, oh yeah, I did way too much last night. I'm sorry.
That is funny. That's what I do driving to work. I think of kind of the same thing. I think of excuses of why I'm late.
I know it's not just me. I know exactly. Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about that too. Like, oh, yeah. But it's like, you know, you can only do it so much. And so I just never do it is the thing. I really want to, you know what I mean? It's got to be that one day where I can't. And okay, you know what? Let me tell you something weird, though, Kay. okay, this is what happened with my Jeep, dude. I said that my car wouldn't start one day to not get out of work. I've done this before, okay? And lo and behold, the next day, my car did not fucking start, dude. And I swear to God, I've had problems with that every time. So now, when I think about this stuff, I don't say anything that I don't actually want to happen. Like, I'll never be like, hey, my grandma died. You know what I'm saying? Because for what I've experienced, it actually happens after I fucking do that. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I try and not use the car thing or whatever, because I'm like, now that's going to happen, dude.
Words are magic, man. You say shit and it becomes real.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah, that was just, that creeped me out, man.
That's interesting. You said it and then the day later. And what was the particular thing wrong with your car?
It's been an ongoing issue. It's an ongoing issue with the Jeep, with the battery terminal things, you know? And so, you know, what's so weird is that, okay, I said that and then I went to, you know what I mean? Then it didn't start and I figured it out right away, basically went to work. But then after work, it wouldn't start again. So they got to see me with my hood up and my car not starting. I was like, this is fucking perfect, dude. Like, they actually believe me. And now I actually have a real car problem. And so, like, they're not suspicious at all as to what happened, you know? It's crazy, dude. And they were, like, helping me and stuff. I'm like, yeah, this happened to me. Yep. That's why I couldn't come in the other day.
So, yeah, see this? This is evidence right here.
Exactly, dude. But I'm creeped. I'm in the back of my head. I'm like, this is so fucking weird.
That's funny. And you know what? Maybe you knew that was probably a possibility anyway. You knew when your car was going downhill, so you went ahead and threw that out.
Well, the car isn't going downhill. That's just the thing. It's a nice Jeep, dude. It just has this fucking. I don't know. I need to get new terminals and stuff like that. But, you know, it's, yeah, I think that maybe I've lived this life before, okay? And that's probably how I knew.
So it was performing perfectly before you said that? No problems at all?
Yes, yes. The Jeep
is down.
Yeah.
That's weird then. Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that was the first car problem that I had with it. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Yeah. Never had any other problems with the Jeep, dude. Except for that, yeah, fucking weird.
But I, you know, I think we all have the ability to.
Oh yeah,
see
run
the
across
your little bit, right? Don't you think? And then
that's what I was gonna say.
The powers that be make sure we don't ever use it, because I do.
Absolutely, I think that's why we are supposed to be smoking weed and stuff, dude. I think that all the alcohol, all that stuff, I think is a contributor to dulling some kind of senses that we have, because. That's what I was trying to say earlier, you know, saying you don't feel like you have a little clairvoyance, you know, because even at work with these guys, the way that some of these guys, like the way we work, we don't talk sometimes, you know what I mean? If a guy looks at me and I look at him from across the room, I know exactly what he's saying, you know what I mean? So I think I was talking without pushing the button. So, you know, we communicate with it at work without words a lot, you know what I mean? It's just with looks. And you know what I mean? And it's so odd to me. And I think it's so beautiful too, you know, but it's like, there's some people who can't do that. And I think that that's why people do not like working with people who, you know what I mean? I don't want to have to tell you everything that I need all the time. Like, I should be able to look at you and you should know, you know what I'm saying? And like, that's how you're supposed to work with these guys. And I think that's probably why I survive, basically, because I do that, you know, because basically I can't really lift anything, you know what I mean? But like, I know what they need when they need it. And so like, I'm always right there. And so, you know what I mean? They like that. And that's why I'm able to basically, and you know, and I get along with the guys too. And so that's pretty much, I think that's the only thing that's my job security, really.
That is so cool. Look at you. You're just like getting in there, figuring that shit out and your brain. Or you're supposed to.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to use your brain. I think I don't. They were asking me what percentage I was today. What percentage are you? Because they're trying. I'm like, oh, you're trying to gauge my wage, are you? They're like, we just want to know how much we're supposed to yell at you. Like, depending on how much money you make is dependent on how much work, you know what I mean? How lenient they are to be to you. I'm like, I only make I'm only 12%. I'm only 12% when it starts at 55%, so it's like impossible.
Oh, you got demoted.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they said. They're like, oh, she got demoted now. They're like, yeah. So I'll grab anything you want, and that's pretty much it. Can't yell at me, guys.
Wow. I like working with guys because I really can't handle the female drama at all.
Me neither.
I just, it just.
How does it? how is it at work? I mean, is there a lot of that even at that age with the women at work? Or
now that I'm in a professional job, you know, when I was like non-professional jobs, like I was a cashier for a while and an accountant and stuff like that. But now that I'm a teacher, people behave very professional. So it doesn't come up at work at all.
I couldn't even imagine, to be honest with you, in that setting. But that's literally the exact same thing for me. I can't even imagine, like, I guess I just don't really get along with girls like that. Like, I don't know. You know, the thing is that I have some really good girlfriends though, you know what I mean? And like, the girls that I become really good friends with, are always girls who people think are bitches. They're rude, you know what I mean? Like, that's how they come off, but they're like the coolest girls in the world, dude, you know what I mean? Like, I always get along with that girl that like everybody doesn't like because she's like too frank, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. That's why we're friends, huh?
is that you?
Yeah.
Or what?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
I think so.
I mean, all, you know, and I just noticed that. I was like, oh, so I just like real people. It's pretty much, I can't handle fakeness, like, at all, you know? So it's like, I think the people just kind of, like, isolate. They just don't talk to me, basically, if it's, you know what I mean? Because I'm just too honest, dude. Or I just demand honesty, I think, from the person, you know? And so, like, if they can't give me that, then it's like, it's going to be a very, like, very platonic relationship. Like,
yeah. Oh, that's funny. My sister-in-law, she was straightforward like that. She'd walk by and she'd go, oh, you got a booger.
Yeah.
And she'd just walk on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, screw you too. There's no booger there. She's just being a... Just being...
Yeah. No, there'd be a booger. You'd go,
right.
Gross. Thanks for telling me, you know.
And she'd already be gone before you think, yeah.
But other people would walk past you and not say anything. Thanks a lot. I had a booger the whole time.
I know, you know, even the guys that I had, you know what caulk is, right? Caulking. Obviously
caulk?
You do. Caulk, yeah.
What are you doing at work with dudes in caulk?
Yeah, that's why I wanted them to be like, do you know what caulk is? Because we didn't want to be like, I had caulk all over my face. Because I did. I had white caulk all over my face. And I was talking to the guys. I was like telling them a story. And then they finally told me. And I was like, what the hell? It's been like 15 minutes. You guys are just fucking standing there looking at me with caulk on my face. Like, getting off, obviously, on it.
Because of all the caulk on your face.
Yes, you know what I mean? They're just like imagining things, like, and then they're like, all right, yeah, let's tell her. Like, oh my God, dude.
That is funny. You're walking around. It's a really important story, too. Really intellectual.
Yes, I know. And I'm like, these guys are really listening to me, finally. Yeah, because that's all, like, yeah, no shit. Yeah, I only tell, like, really good stories, you know, so that was a story.
You're like, you see here, the Third Amendment. Let me explain this to you, fellas.
Exactly. I probably was, too.
I don't know what the Third Amendment is, so.
Me neither.
Perhaps I should look it up.
It's something about leaving me the hell alone or something. I don't know. That's what my Third Amendment is.
That's right. You got your own Third Amendment. That's right. I love how Chris talks about how we just all accept that the government's in charge. We just accept it.
I love
we
Chris.
Just, right. We just hand over our power. Here, take it. You just bend over. You're in charge.
You just
nothing.
Bend over. Yeah, I know. Yeah. No Vaseline, nothing, dude. No KY for you or anything. It's like, come on, dude. Give us some government-sponsored, some state Vaseline, dude, for our assholes. I mean, seriously.
Right, because it's hurting now. You guys are reaming us hard here.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a little bit, just, you know, under a 4-ounce bottle so I can take it on a plane and stuff. And, you know, government Vaseline. They should just send out packages to everybody. Like, and people be like, what's this for? We're like, oh, I know what this is for.
That's prescriptive programming. That's the Vaseline. That's what makes it happen. I'm sure of it. Seriously. The prescriptive programming, you know, it lets our brains accept the pile of shit, the huge pile of shit they're telling us.
The Vaseline does?
Yep, it's the prescriptive programming of, the Vaseline. It gets it right into your brain, man. Okay, feed it to me. I'll believe you.
Just get it to me. Yeah. Yeah, man, these guys at work, I mean, they're so into the ISIS thing. And you know what? Okay, I found a good, what I tell people now, and I tell them, like, you know, they say something about the news, and we're like, yeah, none of it makes sense, does it? Like, I know that, you could just tell people, I know that nothing in the news makes sense to you, and it's totally confusing, and it's wild and crazy and weird, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know you're really confused about everything, aren't you? They're like, yes, I am, actually. Like, yeah. That's what I was talking to my buddy. I was like, yeah, well, I'm telling you the reason why is because none of it's real. It's all fake. And that's why you're confused, you know, but you can just make that blanket statement and just like, hey, I know that you don't know anything that's going on. You have no idea what's going on. You know what I mean? I think that some of these guys, the reason that they're so into the news, there's people who just totally don't pay attention to it. And then there's people who really do pay attention to it. And I feel like they're just trying to figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, they just want to know what's going on, but they'll never figure it out. You know what I mean? And, like, that's a lot of these guys, because they're like, well, let me look it up. Let me look up and see how many. And I'm sitting there listening to them talk. They're like, well, they said there was one shooter. Then they said there was two, you know? And now they're, you know what I mean? They're just so confused with everything. Like, I don't get it, you know? Then I'm sitting next to these guys at the bar across the street from school. And they're saying, you know, it's all on the news. And they're like, first they said it was 9 dead. Now they're saying it's 14. Like, you know what I mean? They're so confused about everything. And it's just so interesting to me, you know, like, because I'm telling them the reason why they're confused and why none of it makes sense, you know, and they know it doesn't make sense.
You could be talking about at least 2 dozen different events right there, what you just said. It's the same thing for every event, right?
Exactly, yeah, it is.
So
yeah.
What event are you talking about in particular?
Sorry, this last recent one, the San Bernardino show.
I have looked at nothing on that. I should look at some stuff. But, you know, since I've realized the first ones out of the gate are always controlled opposition.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
True. Jeff C, motherfucker, first one out of the gate, he's 100% COINTELPRO.
Yep.
Rolo, it's time
right
to
away.
Accept
exactly.
reality.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's time to accept it.
Hey, when did that video go up? It was like, it was on the same day. It was 15 minutes long. It was like 5 hours after the, you know what I mean? Like after, I don't know. I saw that too, actually, because it was the first day that it happened, I did see if there was anything on YouTube. I don't go and type in San Bernardino hoax. I just want to see the news clips, you know what I mean, of what they have so I can analyze it myself. What I do watch is the witnesses and survivors. I love that. That's so much fun for me, and I really like watching them and making fun of them and stuff. So I was looking for that, but, yeah, that's exactly what I saw was there were a couple people who had their videos up right away. And it's like, how would you even – first of all, you cannot analyze what is going on because they're going to change the story like 15 times, dude. I think, you know, by the time you're done with it. And so to just come out right away and have you know what I mean, saying things about it, I think is stupid because it's like, you don't even have enough information yet. You know what I mean? They're going to keep trickling down. How could you not know that? Mm-hmm. They're going to keep giving information for like 3 months at least, you know?
Right.
Until you can put it all together and make a video. That's how I would do it. I wouldn't just make a video right away, not even knowing like what's going on, you know?
But
that's
look.
Just me.
They know the script ahead of time. How the fuck do they know if you're going to choose the one or two shooter stories? The first ones out of the gate, the hoax videos, the first ones out of the gate, they always get it right. They always choose the correct amount of shooters to complain about whatever one the news finally settles on.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they know that ahead of time? Because they're clearly scripted. They're pre-scripted.
Wait, what do you mean the correct amount of shooters? Like,
like Sandy Hook, right? There were like 2 shooters and 3, then 1, whatever. But the hoax videos coming out, I noticed they always choose, they don't change their story later on. If you go back and watch the first hoax, it makes sense. Even though the news has changed 100 times, it's the same story. So how do they always get the story right when the news doesn't even get it right? You know, they get the story right to analyze and complain about.
And they're not even complaining about the correct things. So, I know exactly what you're saying.
But and the problem is, if we watch also our very first piece of information is from the video right out the gate, we've already stopped our brain from thinking about it rationally because whatever they say has already put those blocks in, has already turned our thinking left or right. Instead, we should be thinking straight ahead. So those are purposely done right out the gate to change your thinking on a certain subject and to make some things more important, which you generally follow, and to make other things not important at all.
Yeah. Did you see anybody else who had videos up right away?
I know Jungle Surfer isn't too far behind that, but I don't know about that.
Fact is,
he's got a ton of them. Holy shit.
Oh, who, which one?
Jungle Surfer puts out so many videos.
So does what about Zachary Hubbard?
That poor dude, man. I think he's gone. That poor dude. Did you hear his story about the neighbor who got a restraining order against him?
No, that's... you can't even do that, though, really. You have to have a restraining order against somebody. They have to, you have to be in a relationship with them, or you have to live in the house with them. So I don't know how that works, really.
Like, right. Unless
they're stalking you or something. Right?
Unless he went over and just talked to him time after time after time, and the guy didn't want anyone to talk to him about this stuff, and he felt he was scary. I mean, I got a restraining order against my brother once.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because he wanted more inheritance than he was allotted, and he wouldn't stop calling and leaving, you know, screamy messages. I'm like, fuck that shit, shut the hell up. And the judge was like, yeah, you just get a lawyer. Don't keep harassing people. But I had to show over time he did it so many times.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know how you would do. I don't know, because you really don't need much evidence to get a restraining order from somebody. So Zach's mother
twice, I think. Twice is good enough. I think judges will take two incidences, restraining order. Yeah, and you have to act like you need what's it called? You need relief. You're being tortured psychologically. They'll do it. Judges, you know, if you pretend you're really upset.
Yeah.
You're right.
Well, I was just going to say, Zach's mother, got a restraining order on me, and then put a because we were living in the house there in Coos Bay, Oregon, and then she put a restraining order on him because he wouldn't leave me. And so, like, that was, like, really stupid. Like, there's, you know, she apologizes about it now or whatever. She's crazy. She was crazy, you know what I mean? And put a restraining order on us. And basically the evidence that she said that she was scared because we have guns. And, like, that's why she wanted us, you know what I mean? She was scared that we have guns and,
Holy cow. So, Zach, you mean your boyfriend, Zach, not Zach Hubbard?
No, Zach, my boyfriend, yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Just
that easy. You didn't do anything.
She just wrote down on a thing, and then here's the restraining order. It's like, what? So that's what I'm saying. It's like, you don't need any evidence at all, really, to get a restraining order on somebody. You just got to pay the court, and then now the court will now be your bodyguard. And if they catch the person doing that, they get to get $7,500. That's what it is here in Oregon or something like that. So isn't that funny? If you break the, if you violate the order, you have to pay the state. Like, you should pay the person that you victimized, allegedly, but no, the state makes money off of that, and that's why they don't give a damn. They just file restraining orders, just file them left and right, dude. And so, you know,
but I
do understand that it was understood that you have to be living in the house with the person or in a relationship with them, like sexually, basically. Like, you have to be in a relationship, and like, that's pretty much, those were the only two ways you could get a restraining order. So I don't know how can, because if your neighbor got a restraining order on you and you live next door, how does that work? Because you have to be like hundreds of feet away from them and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So I don't think that would even, that's just, you know, I don't know.
You're not allowed to cross the street.
Yeah, I don't, you know what I mean? Or else you owe the state $7,500, so I don't know how that would work, you know? Because basically what happened was we had to leave the house, you know what I mean? Because her mom got that was the whole point. She didn't want us there, you know what I mean? Because we like to drink. She's super Christian and all this stuff. And he was 21. He's not even allowed to have a beer in the house and all this stuff. And, you know, it was just too much. And that's pretty much what her thing was. We just have a different lifestyle, you know what I mean? We were young and crazy.
Oh,
we're older
now. I bet he's so glad to be out. I bet he's so happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was
yeah, he grew up and had a hard time. You know, that's probably why he is the guy that he is today. This is, yeah, he just never bought into anything, you know, because he just never believed anything his mom said. So all the Christianity, he never believed in God or none of that, you know, and so it's just, yeah.
Is she like certified mental?
I mean, she's a really serious Christian. Is that certified or
no? Like my friend, she's actually imagining people are like leaving stuff on her doorstep when they aren't, you know, things like that.
You have a friend like that?
Yeah.
Okay, I asked if you would not talk about the stuff that happened, you know. I really would like if you didn't do that over the live stream next time.
But she would leave me little notes on my doorstep, all wrapped up, you know, written on like a paper that then folded in a funny way and folded again, and then more writing and more tape and then folding. And
it's, oh really, my God.
Just, yeah, manic.
Opening that.
Weird. Oh, I read it.
Oh, I opened it. Yeah, like, it takes me 20 minutes to open it, and then it's just like two words. Why do you do that to me?
Like, I know. She's, it's some cryptic sentence I couldn't understand anyway, so I was like, why did I open it?
So are you still currently friends with her? And I mean, that's really sad, you know? But
it
I
is
mean,
sad. And you know, the police force, they're just pieces of I'm not friends with her anymore because we worked together to do stuff against the city. And so like all her manic, imaginative people are people her and I used to do business with. So I think I made her psychosis worse because it reminded her of our dealings with the city. I don't know. It's weird.
Wait. Okay. Sorry.
I don't know.
But you're not friends with her because she's too crazy or because, because you think you made it worse just by being around her because you guys did a lot of, well, what do you mean she's imagining these people that are real? I don't get that.
No, well, they're like this really, the wealthy landowner who was doing stuff and, you know, we didn't like how he was building out the city. You know, we were trying to get him to stop. He wanted to do 3-story apartments. We only wanted 2-story because it's a small town, right? And so he wants to build like this ghetto area and we were trying to stop it. Stuff like that. So in her psychoses, she has this idea that he's in love with her and he's trying to contact her by putting stuff on her doorstep.
Huh.
Yeah. But I got it. I only told you that to tell you this. It's a cop story. All right. In for a good
coffee.
Cop story.
Coffee? Yeah. What color?
Cop. Policeman. Policeman story.
Oh, cop.
Cop. Yeah.
COP. Okay, I said cock. Yeah. Other thing, cock. Okay, and I was like, "What color?" Sorry, I was stupid.
Or the color that was on your face. White.
I know. That's why I was asking. Yeah.
So, I think my friend was already having mental issues. Then she started doing meth, and it made everything worse. Of course.
Oh yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't hang around with people who do meth. I don't know. You know, she was broke and desperate and getting a divorce, so I think it was her escape. But anyway.
Yeah.
So one day, she's still kind of crazy, but she's out of meth. So in our small town, right, she goes to her meth dealer's house to buy some. Mm-hmm. He's not home. She opens the door. She tries the door, and it's open, so she just goes in. The neighbor calls the police, and they take her to jail. Now she hasn't done meth because she's out, which is why she was at the meth dealer's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
The police show up. They know it's the meth dealer's house, yet he still does business, right?
Yeah.
They know who she is because they caught her in a few people's backyards digging holes and stuff.
Damn, it's like an animal, okay.
I know, poor thing. So what do? They take her to jail and they ask her name. And because she doesn't give her name, and the cop, he knew who she was. That son of a bitch, he knew who she was, but they put her in jail for 4 days. And if she was on drugs, wouldn't it have already run out after a day?
I don't know about meth. I think that there are people who claim that they have been high for days on meth. But I'm assuming that you're assuming that she didn't have any because that's when she was going there. But maybe she's done the last bit.
Right. So after 4 days, she finally said, forget it. I do want to get out of here. And then she called her mom and the mom came and got her.
Wow.
All because she wouldn't give a name?
Yeah, so I mean, seriously, they're taking advantage of a mentally ill person.
Yeah, that's true.
She didn't do any harm. Yeah, and then what, the meth dealer's just out walking around?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Do you think that the meth dealer is still in business and in town?
Yeah, I think they make deals with the local cops not to cause too much trouble, but it's going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, deals for them.
Yeah, I think that's actually kind of how it works too, around here also it's like, how could they not know that these people are moving this amount of, how could you not know is the thing if you're supposed to know everything and all this stuff, you know? So, there's no way that they don't. And I mean, even in that show, The Wire. We finally made it home. Even in the show, The Wire, the cops, they set up a free zone. I mean, that's kind of what they did in Baltimore. You know, they set up a free zone and let the people just have at it with the drugs. And the police just agree not to bother them as long as they stay there and don't bother anybody else, you know.
That sucks. So you just drove into your driveway?
I just pulled into my driveway. My boyfriend's looking at me, smiling at me. I was talking about you on the live stream, talking to Kayham and just,
hi, Zach. Tell Zach Kay says hi.
Kay says hi. Baby, say hi.
Hello. Did you hear that?
Oh, yay!
Hello.
That's Zach. Yay. Yeah, we got a Portland trip coming up, don't we? We got to hook up. I'm going to meet Rochelle again in Portland. I'm excited. I hope we can hook up.
No, it's going to be awesome, dude, and I actually can't wait. So definitely, I mean, hit me up about that.
Hit me up about a road trip if you ever want to do that, too.
I know, we should just do a road trip.
I want to get on a train, dude. I was working on this building, and the trains could come by. I was like, oh, yeah, I've never been on a train before. Like, I just want to get on a long train ride and just, you know, just meet people and talk to people. And I just want to do something like that at some point or anything like that. I love traveling.
We should. Why not a train trip?
I would so love that, dude. Actually, I mean, yeah.
Do you get vacation at work?
They frown upon it, but I can ask for time off whenever I want, you know.
We could do it like a Saturday, Sunday, Monday thing.
Yeah, I think so. Wait, where would we be able to go? I was wondering that too, if we could do, just take like a day off, you know what I mean? And where would we go though, you know?
I don't know. You want to travel Amtrak?
Yeah.
They have some fun, I know around, there's a fun one around, but it's not like that kind of train trip, but it goes around Mount Rainier. It's kind of cool, actually. You see the backsides of weird things.
See, I could like ride the train up there to you, right? That's where Mount Rainier is, right?
Yeah. That would be fun. Train trip.
Yes, I would love to do that. We got to work something out like that at some point. It'd be awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've been in my driveway for like an hour now.
Oh, okay. I'm in my driveway.
I just don't want to hang up.
I know. Okay. So thank you so much for chatting with me on my drive home. And I got off at 3:30. And this is the time that I just got home. So this is ridiculous. 20
Holy
miles.
Cannoli.
20 miles.
Wow.
So yeah, thank you so much for popping in here and chatting with me and staying in your driveway and stuff. And I hope I can speak to you soon. And Ab constantly disappearing and stuff. Good on you, mate. Is that how they say it or whatever? No.
Ab. I wish I could have talked to him more. I miss him so much. I don't get time enough. I was hoping he'd come back too.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I hope that we didn't overpower you, Ab. But I love chatting with you and stuff. And thank you so much for the audio chat and everything. It's perfect for driving almost if you drive an automatic and not a stick. So I'll work on this layout here I have. But I hope to speak to you soon again, Kay.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Have a good night. Okay. Bye.
Hi, my name is Jan Erik, and I recommend the Fakeologist because that's the place to get real truth and not BS.